Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this Monday morning. It's the 21st of November. Very nice to have you with us on this week of Thanksgiving. And I'm sure we have a lot to give thanks for. And hopefully by Thursday, we'll figure out what it is.
What that is?
No, what we have to give thanks for.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're here.
Yeah, there we go. So we'll figure about we'll work on that as the week progresses. Meanwhile, we have all kinds of things to discuss, and we will get to that in just a moment. Let me introduce the panel to you. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. How are you?
Well, I left the house very early, Joe, this morning at 2:30. To get over here because I didn't want to have other guys coming at me in the snow, and I figured that was the best time to go. But there had to be 10, 15, 20 inches of snow on the road at some points. And I don't know.
You mean on the road that you were driving on?
On the road I was driving.
Really?
Yeah, it was really quite something. And it was scary, and I want to advise everybody, especially in the Berkshires, which apparently got hit harder than anybody else, that they have to be careful.
Yeah, it's weird because if you're on the top of the hill, like where I was, on the top of the hill, you got banged, and then if you come down, there's like nothing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You get sort of a false sense of security.
Well, I'm driving to Rochester tomorrow, so we'll see.
That'd be great.
Yeah. New York State
fine,
through, but the plows will be out.
Well, and as probably all of you know by now, because there's, the kids would have already went, but school closed on many occasions, it is tough out there, so be careful. We are all safe and sound, ensconced in Studio A. So joining us also is Rosemary Armeo.
Good morning. She is the
director of the journalism program at UAlbany. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I went this weekend. I took the advice of one of our listeners who told me I clearly needed to chill out. I went to the Susan B. Anthony birthplace in Adams, Massachusetts. It was rather inspiring. The young woman there said that I was not the first person who had come there seeking solace after the election.
I would assume not, but that's good.
The shrine of Susan B. Anthony.
Well, it reminds you that all the suffragettes, all the women's rights advocates and champions worked for years and years and years, and many of them died before even the vote was achieved. So it's a long and continual struggle.
Libby Post joins us. It's been a while since we've seen Libby, so we welcome her back to the studio.
Thank you. Political consultant,
and always good to have you back.
Thank you very much
for being here. All right, let's go to what's happening in the world. And basically, we saw some more. It's weird. I was watching the news all weekend. You just sort of sit there watching the golf course, waiting for smoke to rise. Oh, they named another one, but. Just meetings more than anything else. So
it is interesting. Haven't you seen that, Joe and Libby and Rosemary, the idea that we're getting a tour of all the properties?
Yes, we are.
I'm sure it's all to the good of
It's all about, right.
Oh, and he's created another reality TV show.
Yeah.
And we continue to see that. Oh, maybe I'll announce today. Oh, no, hold on.
Well,
there are issues of conflict of interest with this business.
Oh, yeah.
The story today is pointing out that the Constitution forbids American presidents from taking gifts from foreign agents. And that's exactly what you have going on. If the Japanese, for example, are coming to his hotel, if Indian agents are talking about opening
They already did this whole thing about, the Trump Hotel in Washington.
Yeah.
They did outreach to all the diplomats and stuff. You know, do your events here. You know, it's like pay for play in the most bald-faced scenario. And Alan's right. We're getting a tour so that people say, oh, well, Mitt Romney was there. Maybe I should go too. You know, there's going to be a lot of that.
President-elect Trump met in the last week in his office at Trump Tower with three Indian business partners who are building a Trump-branded luxury apartment complex south of Mumbai, raising new questions about how he will separate his business dealings from the work of the government once he is in the White House. A spokeswoman for Donald Trump described the meeting as a courtesy call by the three Indian real estate executives who flew from India to congratulate Mr. Trump on his election victory. And a picture posted on Twitter, all four men are smiling and giving a thumbs up. It was not a formal meeting of any kind, according to Brianna Butler, who is a spokeswoman for the Trump Organization. Ms. Butler and Hope Hicks, a spokeswoman for Mr. Trump, declined to comment when asked Saturday if the meeting with the Trump family members included any discussion of Trump businesses in India or expanding their businesses. Washington ethics lawyers said that a meeting with Indian real estate partners, regardless of what was discussed, raised conflict of interest questions for Mr. Trump, who could be perceived as using the presidency to advance his business interests. Also, there was the story about Ryan Priebus, who is has been named chief of staff, who said yesterday on one of the Sunday News shows, State of the Union, I believe, that he will look out. He is looking out for any political or ethical minefields. Obviously, we will comply with all of those laws, and we will have our White House counsel review all of those things. We will have every I dotted and every T crossed, and I can assure the American people that there won't be any wrongdoing or any sort of undue influence over any decision making.
And I have a bridge I'd like to sell you.
Don't worry your pretty little head over that, America. I'll take care of it for
Well,
you.
What do you expect? What do you expect the guy to say? I mean, you know, that's what he's going to say.
Right.
Crossed every T, dotted every I. Right. We'll do that. In the meantime, you know, we had this wonderful thing, and I wanted a big thank you to Colleen O'Connell for what she did with us on Saturday. Was it Saturday?
Friday night.
Friday night, yeah. And the Capitol steps came, and it was really quite something. And there was this thing that they always have me do with them when I go, and that's they put people on the airplane behind me. I play the schnook. When they're patting me down. Meantime, Osama bin Laden and everybody is getting on the plane behind me. And that reminds me of sort of what's going on now. You got Priebus on the television saying, we're not doing anything unethical. We're going to dot every... And I'm sure he's right. They'll dot the I's, they'll cross the T's, and the guys will come over from India to play up his hotel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Ivanka will be listening in on state interviews for which she does not have clearance, and she's supposed to be part of the separation of business and government running. It's all very, very troubling.
Can I ask a silly question here?
Of course.
I realize this is naive, but when I watch this, I just think of, well, isn't there... Isn't there some oversight or someone in a position to say, all right, this is how we do it. You know, like a wedding planner. You know, just like the person that says, all right, this is how we do that. This is the first time you've ever been married. This is the first time you've ever been president. This is how we do this.
Except that he didn't listen to that person in terms of how to run his campaign. And so why should he listen now?
Exactly.
Now, I'm not.
And look at the sacrifices he's making. He's
Absolutely.
Going to break up his family, and Melania and Barron are going to stay in New York because he has to continue school. And so, you know, if he can do that, then, gee, you can't ask him really to give up his whole business.
Yeah, well, you know how it is.
We're getting a lot of mail from people, you know, who say, you're not fair. Can't you figure
That's
out
right.
a better way to, you know, treat the incoming president? I'm just pointing that out.
Well, I don't know. I guess I'm trying to just figure out that I'll admit I'm not really doing this, but I guess in somewhat trying to give the benefit of the doubt that they don't know. But like, who tells them that I'm not so much talking about the conflict of interest stuff. I'm just talking about, you know, even having the wrong people in the room, how you get somebody's phone number, where you go in the transition, which just seems to be so ham-handed. And I don't know. It just...
My favorite is when he told Theresa May, the leader of Great Britain, if you're ever in the U.S., look me up.
Yeah, if you're in town, stop on by. And who... That
you
conversation...
You don't have to make fun of that, Alan. They just reported straight, and it's ridiculous.
They said the conversation was 5 minutes, and then he had a 10-minute conversation with somebody else, somebody insignificant for much longer.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was very...
His first call that he took was from the head of Ireland, which is also against protocol, but he doesn't care about protocol. And I will remind everyone that this is what America voted for, someone who would upend the system, who does not follow the rules, and maybe will shake up everything, and we're going to find out.
And people who think they don't need the way things were running will understand in a year or two that they really did need the way
things
were.
Well, maybe they won't. Maybe, yeah. Maybe this is what Alan is saying, give him a chance. Maybe we'll see in 2 years that, oh, it was silly of us to want clarity between his business and government. Maybe it was foolish of us to want a pool to watch him all the time. Maybe all these old rules are hidebound and that's what's wrong with America. It will be great again. It's possible.
I just keep thinking of lock her up. For emails.
Right, right.
And you see all this stuff floating around already.
Yeah.
And the way that he has operated successfully as a businessman is not to care about a lot of this stuff.
Right.
Yep.
And no, so, he doesn't.
You know,
and
there was
all
the,
of that was out and reported. Yeah. It's not as if we went into this unawares. Yeah.
Well, you know, there are a lot of people who voted that way. And,
yes.
You know, they will have to, as Libby just said, they will have to decide whether their vote was miscast. We do know one thing. He was going to clean out the swamp. He was going to keep lobbyists out. And now they're careening in.
I just remember during the fight for the Affordable Care Act, you know, people would say they were against Obamacare, but don't touch my Medicare.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Wait.
Don't cut. Right. Paul Ryan wants to privatize Medicare and Medicaid. Just wait, folks. You'll be yearning for the days of Barack Obama and the protection of Medicare and Social Security.
Well, maybe not. Maybe they'll come up with something all new and unheard of. And here's the one good thing is that, okay, the Republicans can no longer blame anybody. This is they got everything they want. So it's their chance to show what they can do. And we're going to know. We're going to know one way or another in just a few years if we're – I'm not going to add my ending. We'll know in a few years if the idea worked.
So the two things that came out of the Sunday news shows yesterday, one, Mike Pence not ruling out the possibility that Donald Trump could reinstate waterboarding as an interrogation technique against accused terrorists during his administration. John McCain, speaking Saturday at the Halifax International Security Forum, insisted that any attempt to bring back waterboarding, which simulates drowning, would be quickly challenged in court. And then also on the Sunday talk shows, Mike Pence. Am I right on that? Yeah, Mike Pence. No, I'm sorry. It was that was Mike Pence talking about the talking about waterboarding. Ryan Priebus was on Meet the Press and said, I'm not going to rule out a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the country. We're not going to have a registry, but we're not going to have a registry based on a religion, but I'm not going to rule anything else out.
Jeez. Well, I mean, already we're seeing that torture is being allowed in North Dakota. Mm-hmm. You have protesters, First Amendment right. They're trying to exercise in opposition to a pipeline out there.
Rubber bullets, mace.
And water cannons when it's 20 degrees out there. I'm sorry, that's torture.
Yeah, I mean it's different than torture of trying to get information, right? I mean it's a punishment and it's a disbursement, different than trying to get information from someone, correct?
Okay, that's a nicety I have failed to make, but okay. And it's also federal government and military versus state.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just making that.
But what we have now is an openness to the idea of law and order at any cost. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see it in international level and at the state level.
So it's going to be great to watch. First of all, there's the march in Washington the day after the inauguration. It'll be interesting to see exactly what happens there.
And how they treat the protesters.
Yeah, and then the day after, and on that same day, there's a march from Union Square in New York, apparently, up to Trump Towers. And, you know, there will be de Blasio's New York up against Trump's, you know, protections.
Wow. I feel very sorry for New York City police, traffic police. That is just a growing nightmare that's happening in New York, and it looks like it will last for the entire administration.
Right, and who's paying for it?
You
that's
and I. But he's not. But Libby, he's not taking a salary.
Yeah, that's really great. What a guy.
Maybe it should go to New York City police.
Right. The fact of the matter is that New York City taxpayers, and to some extent you and I and those of us who live upstate, are going to be paying for this, you know, luxury that we're affording this man of not moving his family to the White House. Yeah, they don't want to uproot Barron in the middle of a school year. You know, I get that. I question, are they going to send this kid to Sidwell Friends? Where are they going to send him when they move to Washington?
If they
well, we don't
to
know
Washington.
They that they will. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's
they're
very
gonna
open-ended.
They're going to just revisit it.
Meanwhile, in other news on the Sunday talk shows, Jeff Sessions, just in case you were wondering, he has denied that he is a racist.
Yeah, yeah. I have another bridge.
I am not insensitive to minorities, and Ryan Priebus called such criticism very political, very unfair during his interview with Martha Raddatz on CBS.
I'm so relieved.
Yeah.
I was so relieved to hear that, yes.
You know, they're using the Trump...
But
the Trump strategy of turning it all around and blaming you, blaming everybody else for what they've really done. And it's the same thing here. He is a racist. He's on the books as a racist. He couldn't be appointed as a federal judge because of his racism in the 80s. So who is he kidding? You know, he's a white man from Alabama. And I know there was a piece in the Times this weekend about identity politics and how it's the undoing of the Democratic Party, which I don't necessarily agree with. But, you know, he sees the world as a white man, regardless of what anybody else says. He said that grabbing someone by the genitals is not sexual assault.
I do want to just in relation to the comments that were made on the Sunday talk shows about Jeff Sessions, also on Fox News Sunday, Chuck Schumer, the incoming Senate Minority Leader, said that Jeff Sessions is going to need a very thorough vetting.
I wonder if Jeff Sessions would feel the same way if somebody grabbed him by the genitals.
Well,
I just, you know, that's my response to this.
Well, the other issue there, Joe, that you just raised is the relationship between Schumer and Trump. Now, they've been friends over the years, and Trump has been very supportive of Schumer. Now, I think Schumer has a classic decision to make here. Does he want to be the guy who really lays it out and says, this is our position, you don't go past this point? And, you know, I hope he does, because I think the Democrats are going to need that. They're going to need somebody who will fight the fight. They have Elizabeth Warren, who certainly will do that. And there has to be a certain amount of real, true vetting. So even if you get the votes, you still have the information out there as to who said what and when.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think, Alan, that a whole lot of what the Democrats are doing right now is looking at the array of battles that they will be fighting over the next few years and figuring out which ones are worth it, which is probably something we voters should do, like Hamilton. Is that something we want to fight? Is that worth it?
Okay. Well, I at least want to talk about that, which we have a break right now, but then we'll come back. We'll talk about that and much of other stuff as well. We welcome your comments. Panel@WAMC.org. Panel@WAMC.org. We'll be right back after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post. We do have letters, and you can write your letters too at panel@WAMC.org. Panel@WAMC.org, where we get letters just like this.
Right. Judy writes, so amidst all the racially charged hate crimes spreading around the country, our president-elect has no time to address these frightening events, but he has time to tweet demands for apologies from the Hamilton cast? Give me a break. He doesn't disavow the hate crimes. This makes me very worried. Alan's comment, you should be.
You know, and it is, when you talk about the time taken with the rash of events, it would be nice if that were the, because they do disavow them and they put out comments.
Stop it.
Yes.
Stop it.
Yes.
Please.
But it would be nice if it was done with as much force.
No, think about what Andrew Cuomo did this weekend compared to how Trump is talking.
Well, that's another whole subject.
Yeah, I know. We have that on our go through the letters and then we'll talk about
it. I reserve my right to talk about that. I find it very disturbing, says Lisa, that the Trumps will not reside in the White House. Why should New York City bear the financial burden and traffic jam because he doesn't want to change his residence? And that's Lisa from Montgomery. And dear panel, Libby is right on. Trump won the GOP nomination and the U.S. election his way. He doesn't need anyone telling me how it's done. He knows it all. And for issues that might be unethical or illegal, what else is new? He's calling the shots soon. Then all gloves are off. Pretty scary. And again from Andy. Isn't it against the law, says Beth, for her, I'm assuming
Melania.
To be at such meeting? Isn't there
Ivanka.
Okay. Isn't there some actual recourse to enforce her not being there? Legal action to stop it? Or is it just teaching our children that some people can do whatever they want, legal or not? Beth from East Hampton. I love East Hampton. Sorry, Rosemary, but the Republicans will blame anything that goes wrong on Obama. They will not take ownership of the negatives. And that's from Bob. Do you think? Okay. And oh, thank you, Joe. There's talk of making a Muslim registry. Is it too soon to worry that we're not far behind from another Holocaust? The next step would be making Muslims wear an armband in order to better identify them. Seems reminiscent of the treatment of Jews in Germany.
There's the head of the ADL said every Jew should register as a Muslim. And I agree. If they do this, I'm registering as a Muslim.
Except the problem is they won't do it as Muslims because that is so blatantly unconstitutional. They'll do it as, like, if you're from Ethiopia, if you're from name any other Muslim country, from Iran or Iraq, then you must register. And that will be harder to trick them.
And here's a letter from Sherry to you, Rosemary. Rosemary, you refer to yourself as a liberal. How is that different from a progressive?
Progressives are supposed to be far liberal, like Bernie. And I think I'm a bleeding heart liberal, except I always try to go towards the center because I think that's where there's room for compromise and actual governance, which we've had a big shortage of in the country in the last few years.
That's all I got.
All right. So let's move on to some other things then and other topics that were the news. Well, we did mention Andrew Cuomo, so let's go there. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo on Sunday launched an initiative to combat hate crimes and protect civil rights, saying that the divisive U.S. presidential campaign has prompted a wave of disturbing incidents across the state and the country. In his speech in New York City on Sunday, Cuomo said that he would form a hate crimes unit of the state police, propose legislation increasing protections against discrimination for public school students, and establish a private public legal defense fund for impoverished immigrants. Cuomo said, quote, "The ugly political discourse of this election did not end on Election Day. In many ways, it has gotten worse, growing into a social crisis that now challenges our identity as a state and as a nation and our people."
Well, I can't disagree with a word of it. I have to say that Andrew Cuomo, we all know, have had a big left to his left problem. And, you know, I mean, people voted for Zephyr Teachout in huge numbers over him. And this is now a golden opportunity for him. Because there is nobody who knows the man well who doesn't think that he is putting himself forward as a candidate for president of the United States in 2020. There's no question. And based on things I've seen, I don't think it's impossible or improbable that that's going to happen. So the man is doing exactly what he should do in order to get there. He is solidifying his left. Now, when Trump was first elected, he said he was going to try to cooperate with Trump. And I have a feeling there was an immense blowback, although I can't tell you because I wasn't there, when he said that, which is, what is he doing that for? But now he's going to the unions, he's going to others, he's going to be the champion.
Well, I don't think there was blowback. Elizabeth Warren said she was going to try to cooperate with Trump, too. And we've seen now within weeks of that, she's on the floor of the Senate just screaming at him. I think Cuomo is a viable candidate in 2020. Obama has admitted that the Democratic bench is very weak right now and that it does have to build back up again. The champions that are obvious right now are aging. There is Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. They're old, and it's as we've seen, it's very rigorous to run for office here. So Cuomo is a viable candidate. And while we do have differences with him, I think he's ethically very questionable. He has done many really good things. The SAFE Act, he has done, he allowed gay marriage in this country. He's working on marijuana now. I hope he's working on women's rights. There's certainly pressure on him to do that. He could position himself to be a very favorable candidate in 2020.
Well, let's put it this way. I agree with you. I think, as I started to say just a few seconds ago, that he has it clearly, if there was a winner on the Democratic side in this thing, it was Andrew, because he does have that. However, I want to point out, as you mentioned about the ethical stuff, that there's still a bunch of trials, theoretically, to come.
Yeah.
Is Joe Prococo going to do something in order to save his own skin, his so-called brother?
Right.
Or will there be some kind of interesting deal arrived at where he just, you know, sort of shuts up and goes to jail?
He's been incredibly weak on that. There's, I mean, even if you took away Prococo and the whole current spate of trials. Yeah, I mean, even if you take that all away, though, Libby, come on. He puts in a committee and he's going to change everything and then gets rid of it. He's got an ethical problem.
I'm not saying that there's not the ethical challenges.
Right.
I know that there are. And nor am I saying that, you know, that he'll be the Democratic choice in 2020. However, as someone who is watching these hate crimes,
yes,
and it shakes me to my core to see swastikas, and to see Jewish cemeteries defaced by swastikas. That happened in Warwick, New York, and what happened up in Wellsville, and what happened at SUNY Geneseo. To see that, and to see the amount of hate that is now being legitimized by this man, anti-gay, anti-black, anti-people of color, anti-immigrant, anti-anybody who isn't white male and Christian to the right, you know, I welcomed what he has to say because somebody needs to say it strong, with force, and with commitment. And you can say what you want about him and whether or not there is really that commitment from him, but his father had that commitment. And I think he does have that commitment.
So are you saying he's his father?
I am saying that when it comes to social issues, when it comes to discrimination, Andrew Cuomo has been much better than many of us thought he would be. And he is now standing up and saying no to the hate and doing things in this state that will help people.
Whatever his motivation, Libby, and I hope you're not going to take exception to what I ask. I just want to say it because we do get letters on this from time to time. Whatever his motivation, you're quite right. He's doing the right thing. Okay.
Right.
Now, I just want to make sure that there's a huge thing, blowback this morning, because the members of the legislature were so ticked off that he didn't allow his panel, his handpicked panel, to give a pay raise to them, that they dumped every single piece of legislation that needs to be considered on his desk so that his Thanksgiving dinner would be ruined. And I just want to make sure that you don't have a bill as a lobbyist on that desk in that
not group. Not right now. He signed the bill that we were hoping he would sign, which would it enables vets to do continuing ed at shelters and provide low cost spay and neuter, which is really important.
Good.
But you know that's let's be clear. I lobby for puppies and kittens. It's not like I'm there for the banks or any other large financial interest or major political party.
Well. You're a great lobbyist. So the question I would have is if one of those institutions you just named came up to you and said, Libby, here's $200,000 for a couple of days' work, would you take it?
No.
Okay.
Only four legs and a tail, right?
Not
a bang. First of all, I don't have the the breadth of knowledge to be able to lobby for the banks or anything like that.
I
keep my lobbying to puppies and kittens. It lets me sleep at night.
You know, I think this past election showed that the electorate is a lot more willing to overlook ethical violations than we in the media are. So I don't think Andrew has done anything that rises to the level of what Trump has actually done and is doing and what Hillary Clinton was accused of.
Well, this is a very Rosemarian way of looking at life, which is he hasn't done what the other guy did. But the question is, what did he do? And we'll know. All we know is. I mean, I'm about to interview Tom DiNapoli this morning. He and the other guys, one of my favorite people in the world, mm-hmm. he took away from DiNapoli the audit, some of the audit function of the some of the ancillary things that had to do with SUNY. We think that had DiNapoli been allowed to do what he does in such an excellent manner everywhere else, some of this would have been stopped. So what is Cuomo now doing? He is now announcing that he is putting a purchaser general in charge of what happens. If they had just let DiNapoli do his job, there would not have been any of this stuff. And the idea that you would not give it back to him and say, yeah, you were right all along, we screwed up. Instead, we're going to put yet another person on the payroll.
Yeah, okay, that's all true. I totally agree with it. But look how long it took you to just explain that. It can't be explained in a soundbite, and people are not going to listen to that, and Cuomo knows it.
I'm so sorry. I just thought I would say what was right rather than whether the people were going to listen or not.
Well, that didn't work too well for the Dems in the last election, Alan.
Well, that would mean that I should shut up and never talk about this stuff, right?
Trump would prefer that, yes.
It's wonderful to have you sitting next to me, Rosemary.
Okay, we're going to take a break.
I see the little hearts, you know, from
the little emojis.
The emojis just spouting off of both of your heads.
Yes. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back, and we'll continue our conversation. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Good morning. Welcome back to our panel discussion. We love your letters. It's panel at WAMC.org. Panel at WAMC.org. And Alan, do you want to go to some more letters?
Sure. Here's one. Oh, I want to give Libby one to read. Libby, you just got one, didn't you?
Sure. John wrote, I'm surprised how Libby Post can appear on a panel with two white men. It's under 140 characters, that's for sure.
It's there.
And I can appear because it's not an issue that they're two white men. It's about politics and respect.
Good morning, panel. Attaches an exterior shot of Trump's heavily secured and virtually deserted new hotel. A sole protester with a sign at the barricade. Rooms there are now being offered for half price, $400, with few takers. I hope this isn't false news. That's all I got to say. At several restaurants, I overheard conversation between government employees agonizing over whether they should seek employment in NGOs or the private sector. Sidewalk vendors are hawking Hillary T-shirts for $7.95, while Trump shirts go for 20, but I don't see anybody buy or wearing either. It's a new and scary day in the Capitol. Bob from Albany.
Well, there's also the grab your wallet boycott of any business that has dealings with actually sells the merchandise from the Trump Foundation. So Macy's has given up some, but not all of its products. And Amazon is on the list because it's pretty interesting. I would.
And what's the deal with Trump and Bezos? Why is Trump wanting to go after Amazon and Jeff Bezos?
I didn't know that he was.
Yeah, because I've been seeing stories and I just don't
He doesn't like the Washington Post.
Yeah,
very much.
Yeah.
Bezos
yeah.
The Washington Post. That'd be my guess.
I'm sure that's right. Okay, Robert says, Trump is spending his time tweeting about insults for Baldwin and SNL and the cast of Hamilton. What's he going to do when Putin tells him to, quote, get out of the Middle East and don't look back?
He's going to get out, not look back, I'm afraid.
Can't wait to see that tweet. All right.
He's not going to see that as an insult, but
I mean, I don't
go along with it.
But he doesn't seem to be tweeting about anything of real substance. He hasn't in the course of the campaign.
Well, SNL, he tweeted about that the next day that it was.
Well, that's what I mean. SNL, it's Hamilton, it's media coverage that he tends to tweet about of how he was wronged.
But
he
he's doing this so that the attention is spent on that instead of the $25 million settlement or Jeff Sessions or some of his other picks.
Well, I think there was a lot of, Libby, there was a lot of attention paid to the $25 million. It appalled me, to be honest with you, because it was such a paltry sum for what he was accused. And he bragged about it. He said, based on what he knew he was going to do that.
Even if it had been 400 times that much, he would have boasted about it. He had to do it. And again, the hypocrisy, it was the settlement that Bill Clinton agreed to for the same reason, so that he would not be a sitting president involved in a court case, was under $1 million. So
Robert says, I have a mixed mind about the Hamilton actor addressing a protest to Pence during the performance. While I think a protest is warranted and the First Amendment protects his right to do so, the actor has set a precedent that may turn the theater into yet another political battleground. What will we good liberals think if the alt-right disrupts a Langston Hughes play or an anti-LGBT protester demonstrates at the Vagina Monologues? This is a two-edged sword.
I don't think the theater is supposed to be safe. I think that's the whole idea that Trump put out that's bogus. The theater is supposed to provoke ideas and put things on edge and make you think in ways that you don't really want to think. And so that would not be a horrible thing if performances provoked a reaction. I also am of a double mind. I love that the play addresses some of the issues that Pence will be dealing with, but booing and delivering a special speech from the stage. Stevie Van Zandt came out against it. Did you see that?
Yeah.
He's a rock star, of course, and was on Sopranos.
Yeah, and from Bruce Springsteen's band.
No fan of Trump, but he said, that was rude. Come on.
You know, I think the booing certainly was done by people in the audience. I do, I'm of split mind of what was done, although the show.
By the cast.
Yeah. Although, but the show has a history of that. It is very much in the makeup of the show and its DNA. I think what they said, there was nothing. I don't think
it wasn't
offensive.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know,
Joe.
It was just like we're a show, we're a love. We hope that some of these ideas that you listen to these and look at our founding fathers and that there's members of this cast who are scared. I think that's true. So I don't know.
But I also think they knew if they did this, they would get incredible press coverage for what they did. And once again, we have a group of people saying, look, your way of looking at the world is not the only way of looking at the world. Look at us. This is a play about immigrants forming this country. Look at who's playing these immigrants. You know, I think that I didn't have a problem with them doing that whatsoever. I thought it was actually great.
Neither did I. And I'm going to tell you something. People are coming up to me and they are saying, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? It happens everywhere I go, as if I knew what to do. And I have said to them, the one thing that occurs to me is that this is a time for individuals to have courage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what happened at that play.
Yeah.
Because if we don't do that, it's gone.
Right.
May I point out that Vice President Pence said he was not offended.
That's right.
I mean, there is, for all of his faults, and boy, does he have them, there's a man who recognizes what political discourse is about, and he did not take offense.
Right, and it's interesting that he said that after the tweet went out, knowing that he would be contradicting Trump. So I think he's setting things up that, I'm not always going to agree with this man.
We did get a letter from Bill who said, I'm pretty sure other elected officials have had worse nights at the theater.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's lots of pictures of Lincoln going around. Oh, bad night at the theater. Gee, that's awful.
Oh, boy. Rosemary said he's not taking a salary, but let's not forget he hasn't paid taxes in 25 years either. Plus, we'll all be paying for his health care, pension, his office when he leaves office.
For life.
Which can't be too soon. And the Secret Service protection for the rest of his life.
America voted for this.
And then John says, didn't one of his spokesmouths of the incoming administration say that intermittent camps should be reopened? I didn't hear that.
Yes, it was one of his surrogates floated the idea that FDR's internment camps were a precedent for the sort of thing that they're thinking about, perhaps, for Muslims.
Barbara says, yes, it's a horrible level of unnecessary violence against the Standing Rock protest. I was part of the protest last Wednesday against the pipeline, and our Albany police were cooperative and protective of us as we marched to TD Bank. Thank you for your panel, for your thoughtful commentaries, and that's from Barbara. Chuck Schumer says Shirley is all about photo ops. I have no faith in his leadership. What are his core values? I know Chuck Schumer pretty well, by the way, and I like him. I like him, and I think you're going to be able to depend on him to be a man of courage.
It doesn't make any sense for him not to be the opposition because he wants to strengthen the party.
But how big an opposition is the issue?
Well, I think we need to say, look, we'll work with you on X, Y, and Z when it's to our advantage. Like all the pseudo-populist stuff that Trump talked about that we could all agree on, cracking down on corporate greed, things like that.
Infrastructure repair.
Right. Infrastructure repair is really big.
By the way, Joe, I have to say that I'm going to be interviewing Tom DiNapoli, as I said, in the last half hour of the program, and my part will be played by Ray Graff.
Oh, for the last
Ray,
half hour?
Yeah, Ray Graff will play my part.
Okay. Ray, are you doing news in here?
He doesn't hear me. That's good.
Yeah, so is that your sense? Well, then I think we need to take a break.
Okay, we'll take a break.
All right. We'll be back after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the panel discussion. Libby Post, Rosemary Armeo. Alan had to leave us, but I mean, he's okay. We just
shuffled off his mortal coil, has he?
No. He's fine. No,
he's just in
the next studio.
Still sucking in oxygen, I see.
So, going with our theater metaphor for the morning, in for Alan Chartok.
Poor Chartok. I knew him, Horatio. Hey, forsooth.
Oh, my God.
Out, vile jelly, where is thy luster now? Studio D.
Ray, I didn't know you were such a Shakespearean scholar.
Oh, yeah.
Man, you were shot out of a cannon today.
Yeah, well, could you shoot me out of a cannon?
All right, let's go to some letters, and we'll bring you up to speed. This will help bring you up to speed.
Can I do a commercial first?
Absolutely. Okay, what have you got going on tonight?
Tonight.
As if I didn't know.
At 6:15, the Rockefeller Institute is putting on a panel on the topic that many of you are interested in, the role of the media in the election of 2016. I'm moderating it, and I'm the stand-in journalist against a whole bunch of political scientists who are going to talk about social media and fake news and polling and the difference between TV and print and how they all messed up or not.
Wow. What time is this?
6:15, and it's at the Performing Arts Center up at the SUNY campus.
Will there be drinks?
Uptown SUNY campus.
Come and I'll get you a
drink. If it's a media event, there should be drinks. Just saying.
I was always taught in PR school you had to feed them. I didn't know we had to water them as well.
Reporters
always want cocktails. Always a good idea.
Either way. I don't know if SUNY has a portable bar.
So thank you for letting me come out and hear this. Yeah,
good luck.
There'll be time for questions from the audience, and we're not saying that. But we may deliver a message from the stage. Who knows?
Really?
You never know. Hamilton made it cool.
Hamilton has made everything cool.
That's true. I hear it's overrated. That's what Donald Trump says.
Yeah, well, yeah. The
one
I take my theater points from him.
The one tweet that I did chuckle/cringe at, which they ended up deleting, was the one that said, and he didn't even know his lines. The guy who was reading he was reading it from a card because it was written, and he was being the actor was being obviously very thoughtful, I thought, and so he took out a card with the words on it, and Trump said, he didn't even know his lines.
Yeah, and Trump should talk.
All right, let's go to letters. Ray says, R-E-Y, Ray.
Right.
I would like to note that life is very different after the election and all political players should be reevaluated. Cuomo, I think, has a focus anew akin to his father's. He is also pulling to the left 4 years before the due date, an opportunity Clinton didn't have after being Secretary of State. Libby is also always fantastic.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay. Todd says, good art is seldom safe. Entertainment should be safe, but art shouldn't be. Nancy says, Have any of you seen the militarized police used water cannons, tear gas, and more against the unarmed border protectors at Standing Rock, trapped on a bridge in freezing temperatures in an 8-hour-long assault last night? Is my bias showing? Some suffered a cardiac arrest. I know you brought this up earlier.
I'm just furious and upset about that. And
Allison says, who is going to make sure Trump doesn't start a nuclear war? It's obvious he's not going to be really in control. Is there a protocol for this? Who is in control? Is the military allowed to say no? The military will tell you that they are protecting the Constitution.
Have you looked at the generals he's putting in charge?
Right.
Who's going to say no?
Right.
Joanne says, a big concern of mine is the 32 Republican governors versus 18 Democratic governors. My concern is that the American people have dramatically slid towards conservatism. This does not bode well for our country. The Democratic Party has much work to do locally to strengthen the party and increase the numbers.
Wasn't there a SUNY Stony Brook professor who predicted this but with the pendulum effect? I mean, it goes conservative, it goes literally. Everybody take a deep breath. We're going to survive.
You know, it's easy to say that, when the hate isn't targeted at you.
Well, I get plenty of hate.
No,
go in the newsroom for a few minutes.
Right. You know what I mean. You're a white man, and excuse me, but you know, but when you are Jew, when you're a Jew in this country, and the swastikas start showing up, when hate crimes against gays and people of color and immigrants increase, it's harder to say just wait it out, because you know what? I'm the next one who could get the crap beaten out of me.
But conservative governors tie into swastikas, in your estimation?
I think this president-elect has given license to people to act out on their most base and hateful thoughts, and they are turning it into action. Steve Bannon is an anti-Semite. He's a racist. He's a misogynist, and he's going to have the ear of the president. The president, or Trump, has said, "Oh, just stop it." He hasn't come up with out with any strong statement about this is not what America is. I firmly believe this is not what America is.
But I also think, to Ray's point, and just to clarify, the idea of Republican versus Democratic governors, there are a lot of Republican governors who are doing things in their states very similar to what Governor Cuomo is doing of keeping people safe.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's the Republican governors who are the ones that are at fault here. I'm saying it's Trump who is at fault here. Because he's not standing up.
I think that Republicans and conservatives have done an excellent job doing what we're now saying Democrats have to start from the bottom up and begin rebuilding. They took a very long view, and they are now in a position and have actually done many steps at the state level to stop reproductive rights, equality. There's now talk of convening a state's conference that could change or put in new constitutional amendments, which has never really happened in this country because it's so difficult. It now could happen rather easily, and then the sky's the limit on what happens. Balanced budgets, changes to the First Amendment, strengthening the Second Amendment, all of that becomes possible if you have this consortium of conservative states.
Yes, Trump wants all states to recognize other states' open carry laws.
Yeah, that would be.
You know, open carry in New York State?
I don't believe you're going to have to worry about that for any foreseeable future.
I get that, but if it's all federalized, you know. I mean, there's some real issues here, and there's some real dangers here that I don't think we can just blithely say, oh, just wait another 4 years.
No. The letter was about Republican governors, and I'm saying there is a pendulum effect. Accurately, Stony Brook professor, I can't remember his name, accurately predicted the election when nobody else was.
He also says that
there's
Trump's
an American
university.
I'm sorry. There's an American university professor who has predicted every election outcome with the exception of Gore, which was that strange one. Not that this one wasn't strange, and he also saw that Trump was going to come in. So I don't know. I don't know that the pendulum thing works anymore because we've had like really basic changes to the structure of how we vote and from where we vote. So I don't know.
In what way? You mean early voting?
I'm talking about, and I know this isn't governor races. Please don't send me a civics lesson. I get it. I'm making a broader point. But the thing about the way we draw up congressional districts is much different now than it used to be. And so sort of systemic changes have taken place that may be harder to undo than than just simply swinging the pendulum.
Let's go to Pete, who says, so Trump might end the U.S. meddling in Mideast affairs, and that's a bad thing. Man, oh man, the spectrum of political positioning in this country certainly has slid far to the right when Rosemary pretends that this is a centrist view.
What?
Trump's reaction to the Hamilton incident, Bill says, calling the comments rude, was the ultimate in hypocrisy. The king of rude is insulted. Kat says, Alan is right on this one. It's ridiculous to criticize tactics, especially such a peaceful one as what the Hamilton cast did. What on earth do you expect people to do in the face of rising fascism? fascism. Thank you.
That's if a word you have to learn how to pronounce.
I know. I'm going to need it in my vocabulary. And if you can't even handle that. Jeff in Albany says, is it too early to start handicapping the 2020 campaign? Yes. Yes, it is.
I mean, we have an hour and a half every day, so feel free.
Ray knows how to handicap, too.
No, I'm not a horse.
Is that all that handicap is for?
And no sports either. I don't do any of that stuff.
Oh, okay.
Just casinos.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I misspoke.
Jeff's a Cory Booker fan, just for the record.
Yeah.
Okay. Joe says the DNC's emerging leader, Keith Ellison, spoke in the Sunday talk shows as well. How about your thoughts about his fight message? I did not hear it.
I didn't watch.
Afraid to say it. Rick said,
limiting news exposure.
I was in transit. Yeah.
What if the Democrats give the Republicans some of their own medicine, hold up any action on Session nomination until Bannon is gone from the White House?
Well, I don't approve of that.
I do, but here's my question. Can they?
That was my issue. Can they?
Wasn't it changed that it was majority? When do we need the 60 votes? Is it only to override?
It is 60, but they can change that. The Republicans, you know, or either side
Didn't
can
Harry
change
Reid
the
already
rules.
Change that?
Yeah, I thought
it was the... that's a good question.
Yeah,
I don't know, that's
the thing. Can they hold up? Because if it's 60, they're going to need
some
Democrats.
Let's stop this holding up stuff. If you think he's bad, vote no and move on.
Well,
let's have governance again.
But that's what holding up is. If they say no, Trump will have to come back with somebody else.
As opposed to just holding Merrick Garland hostage for a year.
Obama can appoint him if he wants to.
It won't last, though. It would only last for
a couple of months.
Yeah.
All right. Deanne says, my GP says that they are robbing Medicare to pay for Obamacare. Do you know the truth of this? I can't find a trustworthy source online.
That's ridiculous. They're completely separate. That's not true. That sounds like fake news off the internet.
They're completely separate, yet ultimately the same.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is important. And
it would be good if it were one program.
Right, single payer.
But the idea of robbing one to pay the other
is not happening.
It just can't happen.
We got this from Michael, who says, I'm kind of relieved that they won't defame the White House where such great and honorable families have resided. David says, you can bet on there being lists, I suspect, and fear. There is someone in Trumpland who is making lists of lexicographers. Armbands are in order. Black for mourning. I wear my safety pin proudly. Are there enough caves in the Berkshires for all the quote-unquote listed people? Another David says, why is there such a lack of across-the-board moral outrage about the increasing proliferation of hate crime sweeping the country? That's a good question, actually.
I just think that people are, as much as they're paralyzed by Trump, I think that there are people who are speaking out, but I think that there's this sense of fear that if I speak out about this, I'll get beat up too.
There's a lot of people who voted for Trump who want to say anything they see or hear about is isolated and it doesn't mean anything, and that's comforting.
Yeah.
Let's go to...
I just say one more
thing
about this? What will be interesting is whether or not the FBI will continue to put as much emphasis on hate crimes as they have in the last eight years.
They've already said that. The Justice Department will move towards terrorism and extremism being their main emphasis. What does that tell you?
Yeah. So
no more looking at police forces. I think there'll be less work on hate crime. It's got to be the communities have to. If you're concerned about that, you have to do things on your own. I think that's the lesson of this.
Everybody has to step up. It's personal responsibility.
Yes, sir. Alan talked about personal courage. I think that was important. Mm-hmm. Personal responsibility. We don't have to have government do everything. The Republicans and conservatives are right about that. And that means we can act, too.
I do want to go to the story we've been talking on and off this morning, more from letter writers than actual... delving into the issue regarding what's happening in North Dakota. Law enforcement officials in North Dakota have deployed tear gas and water hoses against hundreds of activists protesting against the Dakota Access Pipeline. Protesters also reported being hit with rubber bullets and percussion grenades on a bridge just north of the encampments established by indigenous and environmental activists in opposition to the controversial pipeline. They were attacked with water cannons, said a Standing Rock Sioux tribe member and a founder of the Sacred Stone Camp. It is 23 degrees out there with mace, rubber bullets, pepper spray, etc. They are being trapped and attacked. Pray for my people. The Morton County Sheriff's Department described the incident as an ongoing riot and described the protesters as very aggressive. A spokesman for the Sheriff's Department said that law enforcement was spraying water because protesters were lighting fires on and around the bridge. One person was arrested, according to the Sheriff's Department. As medical professionals, we are concerned for the real risk of loss of life due to severe hyperthermia under these conditions, according to the Standing Rock Medic and Healer Council in a statement posted on Facebook.
Where's President Obama on this? Can't pin this one on Trump. Where's the president?
On what's going on?
And yeah.
I think he has... I've read conflicting things about where he is on it.
He's called for further study, kind of held up things.
Yeah.
But this is more like what happened when the takeover of land occurred.
Right.
Federal land occurred in, where was it? Oregon.
Oregon.
They were left alone for a while, and then there was a shootout, of course. So I don't know. I want to know what they're doing that's illegal. Building fires is illegal? Why can't you just let them protest? You're in the middle of freaking nowhere.
I don't know the answer.
I mean,
it's getting in the way of the capitalist initiative. That's why.
Well, I don't think you can take the measures that they are, which are extreme. The water cannons in 20-degree weather is just horrifying.
Yeah.
So what are they doing that's so bad? Okay, they're building fires. Does someone go and say, put out the fires? I don't know.
They're
that's
protesting.
What that's what's missing. We're,
and this
information
is, what,
is incomplete.
But just remember that just protesting, they're doing a sit-in. So think about what could happen to us.
Well, I am thinking about that with the women's march, which will be a Trump administration. But mm-hmm. Ray is right. You know, why is this going on now?
The president says the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is considering rerouting the $3.8 billion Dakota Access Pipeline amid months of resistance from the Standing Rock Sioux tribe and members of more than 200 other Native American nations and tribes from across the country. My view is that there is a way for us to accommodate sacred lands of Native Americans, according to the president. And
yeah.
I think that right now the Army Corps is examining whether there are ways to reroute this pipeline
right.
in a way. Meanwhile, and this goes on about the protests.
I mean, there's also an argument to be made. I don't condone this. I've spoken out against the measures being taken now. But there was a whole open hearing process on this. And we didn't hear about any objections until after the building began. That's a problem. People have to stand up. You have to be aware that this is that pipeline was going through, and you speak up at the right time. I really can't condone that either.
You know, we don't know if there was protests before it started because the media didn't really cover this until it became a massive protest. So we don't know.
Well,
we really don't know.
As many an email over the last month and a half has pointed out, because of all of the oxygen being sucked out of the national dialogue by the election and by people who are running for president, this has not even been on page 4. This is way in the back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Got a couple letters to round out the show, and then we should be out of time. Brandon Victor Dixon read the message because it was prepared by the producer, director, author, and others regarding the Hamilton reading of the message from Hamilton. Brandon Victor Dixon plays Aaron Burr in the show.
Mm-hmm.
It was finished moments before the end of the play during the curtain calls. One would want to ad-lib such an important message from the entire theater cast and senior personnel. And as we mentioned, that
he didn't forget his lines.
No, he didn't. He took it out, and that was fine. Lisa said, why not let the Democratic Party dissolve? It became an elitist, moderate, warmongering party. If they do not elect Keith Ellison as head of the DNC and let progressives rule, the party is on a downward spiral. We need a progressive party.
Let me guess. That's a Saunders.
Sanders
supporter right there. That's
well,
extreme. We do not need extreme craziness right now. We have enough of it. Although I have no problem with him as the director. Is somebody blocking him to become the head of the Democratic Party?
I don't know.
Libby, do you know of any?
I don't think.
Trilateral Commission.
Bill
Burr. There's some
conspiracy somewhere, but I don't think so. I haven't heard of any other name coming forward.
Howard Dean offered to do it. He wants to do it again.
We're out of time. Ray, thanks for filling in for Alan.
My
Appreciate
pleasure.
It. Thanks to Alan. Thanks to Rosemary. 6:15 tonight.
6:15, yes.
Tonight
thank you.
At the
Performing Arts Center.
There you go. And Libby Vos, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.